The teenage years are all about change, and recognition of that is a question of law, justice, and even neuroscience that is quietly injecting a climate of change into the juvenile justice system around the U.S. To use prison jargon, it's individualized treatment programs, interventions rather than warehousing, continual follow-up and follow-through that is the new orange these days. Gone is the slap-down punishment approach to juvenile crime that has led to lingering stigma in orange jumpsuits and tagging of young people, shutting them down as hardcore write-offs long before they get a chance at real reform. Judge Denise Cubbin, lead judge of the Lucas County Juvenile Court in Toledo, Ohio, and court administrator Deborah Hodges are a tag team for these kinds of changes. To make their system work better for young people and their families, Deborah Hodges says they looked far and wide at innovative programs around the nation and cutting-edge science about what it is that juveniles are most likely to respond to.
We had lots of kids that were waiting placement in detention and were locked up also as punishment at times. And, you know, the research shows us that locking kids up makes good criminals. We rear criminals. And we did not want to be in the business of doing that. Through the research of the Annie Casey Foundation, our own research, looking at our data, we were able to determine that what we were doing was actually harming kids. Who wants to harm kids? Our bigger goal is to make our community and our society safe and better. So that really drove our reform.
As you looked outside of Lucas County, who was doing this well and who did you model your system after?
There are a lot of pockets of courts across the country who are doing this work well and have been for a while. Chicago always jumps out at me. You know, they are the founding home of juvenile justice in our country. Portland does some wonderful work. There are lots of courts in California that are doing good work. And I have to tell you, there are lots of courts in Ohio and in Michigan that are doing great works. I think the point to be made is that juvenile court across the country is founded on the notion that all children have the opportunity to make important changes in their lives if they are just given proper services and direction.
How does the science make it into the system? Is it expert witnesses on the stand, or is it something that is an expertise that the whole system develops as it approaches offenders?
I think the science comes into the practice a number of ways. At this time, it's coming through a lot of associations and universities that are looking at the work and spreading the word to the practitioners.
And I would add, in Ohio, Dr. Ed Lattes out of the University of Cincinnati started really pioneering. He did a huge meta-analysis of what works, what actually works with juvenile offenders. There's a lot of myths out there about what works with kids. Lock them up is one of them. We now know through child development and brain research that the adolescent brain is, you know, not developed. It's underdeveloped. You know, there's a reason kids act a little crazy and impulsive sometimes.
And John, that is a perfect example of the reason why it's vitally important that courts across the country and those working with children pursue cognitive behavioral therapy.
What does that mean in actual practice, cognitive behavioral therapy, and how do you apply that to an offender who may have committed some sort of violent act of property destruction?
Well, it actually starts with looking at how kids think. We can actually teach kids to make different decisions by teaching them cognitive skills. For example, if a youth has a fight at school, rather than in the old ways, we'd sit down and have a lot of talking about what happened, why did you do this. Now we can actually sit down with the kids and teach them some skills and practice them and give them homework. The probation officers work very closely with the kids now and practice how do you get out of this situation next week when you're at school. So the skill development is critical in giving kids tools to make different decisions.
Can you take individuals into the juvenile justice system without tagging them as sort of problem kids for the rest of their lives?
The mere fact of being put on probation raises a youth's risk to reoffend. So that has really caused us to step back and look at Making sure we're not overreacting to normal adolescent behavior. Even if a youth has been charged, we want to make sure that we're not doing anything that is going to deepen that youth into our system. So we, you know, in October of 2013, we opened the Juvenile Assessment Center. These were kids in the past that would have been brought to juvenile detention because they were arrested and then booked in juvenile detention. Now many of these low-level kids never see detention. They're still brought to the court, but we're very knowledgeable about the harm that we can do to lower-level offenders who should not be in the juvenile justice system.
Can either of you tell me a story of an individual, without using a name, who really ended up in a better place as a result of the kinds of work that you're describing here, who might have ended up in a very different place in the 1980s?
I can think of a youth now, and maybe I'll change a couple of the facts, who committed serious robbery with a co-defendant, had a weapon. He would have been committed to an Ohio State institution 3 years ago. He would have served his time, and he would have been returned home to his son that was born while he would have been at the institution. He would probably not have a place to go at home because his mother suffers from significant drug addiction and mental health issues. And today, he served time in our local treatment facility. He had an opportunity to have a relationship with his child while he was in the facility, developed a great relationship with a probation officer who today is assisting him in finding work. While he was in our local facility, he obtained his GED, so he's getting him connected with some programming so that he can get a skill as opposed to going to college at this time. That would never have happened 3 years ago.
You know, I can't understate how much work this takes. You know, the easy thing to do is to lock up people. You know, today we live in a society that over-incarcerated so many people. And, you know, we need to really specifically make sure with kids that we're not going to create that same mistake. There are no simple answers to really complicated issues.
Judge Denise Cubbin is juvenile court judge for Lucas County, Ohio, and Deborah Hodges is the juvenile court administrator.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.